Welcome to a special episode of PageCast, recorded at the Open Book Festival, Cape Town's annual literary gathering, spotlighting South African writing within a global conversation. Enjoy.
Good morning and welcome to PageCast, a podcast from Jonathan Ball. My name is Mwim Bao and I'm a literary critic with the Johannesburg Review of Books. Joining me this morning is Folusha Agbaje, author of the extant gripping novel, The Parlor Wife. Folusha is an incredible storyteller and a literary talent to watch, and she's appearing on four panels here at the Open Book Festival this weekend. Folusha, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So my first question is that your novel is a really fantastic work of historical fiction.
Thank you.
Would you maybe just give us a bit of a short description of what it's about?
Sure. So I like to tell people that as an author, I really enjoy writing stories that see how the choices and connections that we make shape who we are. So the novel is about Kehinde, who is a young woman in 1940s Lagos. And it's set during the Second World War, but it's not about the Second World War. It's about the choices and the connections that she has to make to find herself in that time. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to explore what being a woman in 1940s Lagos looked like.
Yeah.
And I guess in a nutshell, that's what the book is about.
Yeah, that's excellent. That gives you a very good top note to that. Without any spoilers, I like that. I think that sometimes when we hear the term, you know, historical fiction, or when we hear a setting like, okay, 1940s, you know, people might immediately be put off by this idea that, oh, okay, this is going to be, you know, historical. It's going to be about people who are very distant from our own time. But obviously your novel is not like that at all. It actually, I mean, it's quite a page turner. It's a really gripping read. And I think why it succeeds is that you show how history is stitched together by the human, you know, the human element is a really strong part of this. Why did you decide that a historical novel was something that you wanted to tackle?
Historical fiction is my favorite genre, so I read a lot. I mean, I think I would tell people that I'm a reader before I'm an author. Like, stories have been such a big part of my life. I was that child who would beg to be taken to the bookshop, and I'd be looking for like 10 books at a time. And then I'd finish all the 10 books in 1 week. And over the years, historical fiction has just been one genre that I've always enjoyed. Even when I watch TV, I watch period dramas. Like, I've just loved seeing how history has kind of shaped who we are. So I knew that my debut novel had to be a historical fiction novel. And the topics that I cover in The Parlor Wife are topics that over the years I've always questioned. So, you know, why do I know so much about World War II? Or why did I know so much about World War II in the UK, in America, and other countries, but so little about Nigeria? Why did I know so little about what Nigeria was like as a colony of the British Empire? Why did I have no idea what the women of my, you know, my ancestors were doing at that time? And that's why I picked this topic to cover in my first book.
I mean, you really touch on a very interesting point that I think for me was a very strong part of this book when I was reading it, that so often the story of, you know, the World Wars, but especially World War II, is told as a European story or an American story. And you don't often have narratives that speak about the very real and direct involvement of Africans and people from around the world, but especially Africans, in those events. I mean, it was a world war. But I imagine that that must have called for a lot of research on your part.
Yes.
What kind of research did you have to do to kind of
It felt like I was doing a dissertation. I started writing The Parlor Wife in 2019, and it didn't come out till last year. So this is 4 years of very extensive research. And I've put the bibliography at the back of the book because as an avid reader of historical fiction, I find myself going down rabbit holes when I read books, and I want to find out everything about that topic, everything about the people in that time. So I wanted the readers to have somewhere to start. My research covered, you know, things like academic journals. I spent so much time in the British Library, which is, you know, ironic that I was doing Nigerian research in the British Library, but that's where...
That in
itself is, you know, something that I think we could probably spend a whole hour talking about. But there was so much incredible research there. There were journals from colonial administrators at the time, and even their wives talking about their experience living in Lagos. So that really just helped to piece together the picture of what living during the 1940s looked like. I'm also blessed enough to still have my grandparents alive, and they were children in this time period. So even just, you know, topics like what were they eating at dinner with their families? What kind of games did they play? Mm. You know, what hairstyles did the girls do when they went to school? So piecing together their first-hand accounts and then the research I did in the journals, online, looking at documentaries, all just kind of helped to put together a picture in my head that mm-hmm. then became the Parlor Life.
Mm. I think that that really comes across on the page when you're reading the book, because there's a very strong sense of the texture, but it also feels all the characters have this kind of real life texture to them that really comes across to you when you're reading it. You feel like, okay, these are real people. You know,
thank you. That makes me so happy to hear, because I really didn't want the book to come across as a history textbook.
No, definitely not.
And I wanted it to be engaging, and I wanted my readers to imagine themselves mm-hmm. in that setting. Mm. Because at the end of the day, when we write historical characters, like, they still wanted similar things to what we want now. They still had similar desires. Mm. They still had similar areas that led to fulfillment in their lives.
Yeah.
And I think what really connects readers to books is feeling like they understand the characters and wanting to, you know, experience what they're experiencing.
Definitely. I mean, it's that, as I said, that humanness that makes you go, okay, even if this person was living in the 1940s, you know, they still have the same wants and desires and things as mm. I might today, you know. And that's really what makes them tangible.
Thank you.
Let's talk about your main character, Candy. I think she's a very interesting sort of center point for the text, because obviously a lot of the kind of social and political upheaval that the novel is speaking to is kind of focalized through her at this very kind of critical point, you know. Before we focus on her specifically, though, how would you define the concept of a parlor wife? Because I've gotten quite a few questions from people.
This is my favorite question to answer mm-hmm. because, you know, it was The Parlor Wife is one book that I had the title from the beginning. It was initially called Parlor Wives mm-hmm. because I wanted it to be a dual perspective novel between Kehinde and Ayo, who's the second wife.
Yes.
But then I realized I had so much more to write about Kehinde. But then the term Parlor Wife came from one of my grandpa's stories. And the story was, he had an uncle who, you know, had many wives. But then he got to the uncle's house one day, and the uncle had this brand new wife, and she was just sitting pretty. He had this brand new wife, just like sitting really dressed up in the palo. And, you know, palo is living room for anyone who doesn't know what palo means. Well, I guess it's an English word that's used very, very strongly, mostly in Nigeria.
Yes.
And she was just sitting really dressed up in the palo. And, you know, he greeted his uncle. He greeted this strange new woman. And the uncle then apparently very proudly said, "This is my new wife, Iyawo Palo." And Iyawo in Yoruba, which is my language, means wife. So, you know, he said, I don't want to stress her. She's not meant to cook. She's not meant to clean. She's just here to show that, you know, I've arrived mm-hmm. and that she's just going to be here serving my guests.
Yeah.
And I immediately wondered, like, what was it like to be that Iyawo Palo? Like, what does it feel like to be the trophy wife
who
that is why you were married into that family and that's your role? And, you know, I wondered, is this something that she wanted to do? Is this an aspiration she had? Or were there other things that she wanted to do that she couldn't, you know, necessarily do as part of being that Iyawo Palo? And that's, you know, that's very central to Kehinde's personality throughout the book.
Yeah. Now, of course, Kehinde is someone who very much has her own ideas about what she wants to be. And I think she's an all more interesting character for that, especially given the kind of time period. You know, very much from the first moment we meet her, we see that, you know, she has certain ideas about what she wants to do. She wants to be a writer. You know, she wants to go out into the world and make her own mark at a time when there are very strict kind of assumptions about the role of women and her place in the world mm-hmm. and the place of women more generally, you know, that you become a wife, that you do all of these things. Would you say a bit about her as a character, particularly?
Sure. Kehinde is an interesting character. She's very complex.
Mm-hmm.
She is 18 at the start of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she goes through a lot. Mm-hmm. Without dropping any spoilers, she goes through quite a few life challenges. And she's come from a very humble background, and she's suddenly thrust into this new affluent home where she is expected to be this, you know, slightly more mature wife doing the things that her husband wants her to do, even though she's very early on in the book. We know that she wants to be a writer and she wants to write for the West African Pilots, which is, you know, sidebar, but that was actually a real magazine in that time period in Nigeria.
I looked that up after, because I was, is that real?
It is real. It was very real. She wanted to write for them because, you know, at the time, when I was doing my research, I found out that the general sentiment in Nigeria was one of independence. Everybody wanted to be independent of the British Empire. And that kind of got the put
zeitgeist,
aside. Yes, that was the zeitgeist at the time. But that kind of got put aside when the World War came, because there was this general notion of let's all band together to fight this common enemy, which was Hitler at the time. So Kennedy, you know, she had all her ideals and she wanted to write for the West African Pilots. And she was very sensitive to her role in her own nuclear family before she moved on to her marital home. And I wanted to show that, you know, that complex nature of being a woman in a society that has so many expectations of you that are not necessarily what you want for yourself, and the struggle that it takes to evolve from, you know, being this perfect child, perfect daughter, perfect wife, to the kind of woman that you are happy to be and to live the kind of life that you are fulfilled, you know, you're fulfilled throughout. And I always say to people that to live a fulfilling life, you need to be empowered to make decisions. And Kenya wasn't necessarily empowered, you know, across the many points of the book, but then she took that empowerment for herself and she really took it into her own hands. So I was really proud of her because I feel like she made a lot of brave decisions. You know, there are times when there are many things that Kenya did that I would never even dream of doing. So I guess I was living vicariously through Candy.
Yeah, she does kind of keep you on the edge of her little seat. Sometimes you're like, ooh, Pope's a bear.
You're like, why are you doing this?
Yeah. And I think part of what makes her such a strong character, of course, is that she's a twin and she has this, you know, very direct counterpart in her brother. And she sees her brother kind of, you know, wanting to go off and forge his own path and become very independent. She doesn't really understand why she's not allowed to do the same thing. You know, they both are these very kind of strong independent souls, but you know, because of a set of circumstances which I won't spoil, she suddenly finds herself being cast into the situation that's very different.
I really enjoy watching twins. Like, I just find it to be such an interesting dynamic. And I thought it would be great to have a twin who was opposite to Kenny in every way. I mean, he's a man, she's a woman, he's bold, she's timid at the beginning of the book. She has to kind of learn
to
be bold.
She finds her own feet.
She has to find her feet. So I just thought that having that, you know, parallel would be an interesting one to explore to really show the evolution of Kenny's character throughout the book.
So let's talk about I didn't want to touch on the polygamy situation a little too soon, but it is a really interesting aspect of the novel because Kendi, and it's not a spoiler to say, ends up being married into this. It's an arranged marriage situation to this man who is obviously very wealthy and in a position where he can look after her and by extension her family. And that places her in this slightly awkward situation because she's sort of the third wife, you know, these two other wives. And she gets on well with one and not so well with the other. So it's an interesting sort of home dynamic setup. Would you say something about that?
Yes. So polygamy is something that historically has been quite popular in Nigeria. It's not, and I think across, you know, other African countries as well. Monogamous.
It's a topic of fascination.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating because, you know, even now I have friends who grew up in polygamous homes where, you know, they had their parents, but then their dad had many other wives who maybe lived in the same house or lived in the compound. And it's a very popular portrayal in Nollywood movies. And I just really wanted to unpack that a bit in the book and see the different faces of what polygamy could look like. So Kennedy and Ayo's the second wife, they have a fantastic relationship. And I really wanted to show that, you know, there are many sides to polygamy. It's not necessarily
the spectacular thing that you often see.
Exactly. It's not this dramatic, you know, the wives are fighting, someone's pulling someone else's hair, someone's poisoning somebody else's child. Like, I wanted to show the softer side, which is you actually sometimes have wives in that situation who are like sisters and are very close and almost benefit from that relationship. Mm. And then on the other hand, I wanted to show the side where Mama Tope, who is the first wife, is, you know, she didn't go into that situation wanting to then have two other wives behind her. So I do feel a bit of sympathy for her because she's, you know, she and Kenny don't get along and she is quite nasty to her at some points in the book. But, you know, towards the end of the book, you kind of see Mama Tope's side of the story almost where, you know, she got married and, you know, her husband had never said, you're going to be the first of a few. Like, she always just thought this was the marriage for her. Whereas Aya went into the marriage knowing that she was getting married to a married man and was happy with that.
That was a very interesting aspect of the novel because it shows that, you know, people make these decisions. There's a claim of some autonomy. Mm. Yeah, she looked at that situation and thought, this is a way out.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas, you know, Kende's was very different to both of theirs. It was arranged and she didn't want to be there. So I wanted to show the different ways that women end up in that situation and the different faces of polygamy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what would you say has been the kind of audience response to the novel?
Mm.
Have you found it to be, you know, something that you've been surprised at? Have there been surprises in how people have responded to it?
Yes and no. I guess on one hand, I've been completely blown away with how positive the response has been. And I'm so grateful for that. Many readers, like myself, before I started doing the research, didn't know anything about World War II in Nigeria, what women were doing at that time, or what, you know, being a colony of the British Empire looked like for Nigerian citizens. So I've had a lot of responses from readers saying, you know, thank you, this has been so insightful. I've now gone on my own rabbit hole of research and, you know, wanting to explore this topic. And then I've had so many people ask me about, well, I was about to say something that's probably a spoiler, so I'm going to drop it. But I've had many people asking me about how the book ended.
Mm.
And that has surprised me because I'm just so excited when people engage in my characters to the point where, you know, I've met people during this festival over the last few days and people have been like, oh my gosh, I've been wanting to ask you, why did the book end this way? And I felt like I really wanted closure on this end and I really thought about this character so much. So that has been so, so overwhelmingly positive and I'm so grateful. It will never stop being such a great experience to see that, you know, people are resonating so much with my characters and their struggles and they're thinking of them as real people.
Yeah.
So it's been great.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciated this discussion and it's been lovely to read your book and to engage with your work. I think this is a fascinating text and one which I hope many of you will go out and
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks.